Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strausser, Odyssey's managing editor of news.
Tax season has officially opened, and we're going over the changes that could impact you, from deductions on tips and overtime pay to the new parent bonus. To tell us more, we're joined live by CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger. Jill, good morning. All right, what's this new parent bonus?
This one is a temporary situation because you have to have a child that's born between January 1st, 2025 and December 31st, 2028. If that is something in at least your horizon or it happened last year, you will be entitled to open a new account that is like a retirement account. And in this account, the government will deposit a one-time deposit of $1,000. Kind of cool, right? Like, I mean, it's not going to really move the needle for your long-term costs of having a kid, but $1,000, you will be able to add money going forward up to $5,000. Now, here's the thing. These accounts are not launching, so we don't have details about where you're going to have it, but they're not launching until July. But the reason we're talking about it during tax season is that the IRS wants to flag that you can enroll right now in one of these accounts and say, hey, raise your hand to the IRS, say, I'm doing this, with the IRS form 4547.
Oh boy, everything's got a number. But I mean, you know, all kidding aside, yeah, it's $1,000, but you know, if the market grows over the
yes,
young
of
life
course.
Of your child, we're talking some decent money there. So,
sure.
You know,
well, listen, I never pass up money. If I saw $1,000 on the street, I'd say, oh, did anyone lose this? And if I can't find the person, I'll take the $1,000. There are more features in the tax code as a result of that brand new tax bill being passed last year that I just want to highlight. And specifically, there are some temporary deductions that are in place that are all income tested. So I'm going to rattle some things off, but you can get more of it on my website. But this is important. A higher deduction for seniors, a bonus deduction of $6,000 per individual for anyone over 65. No tax on tips, as you mentioned in your intro, no tax on overtime, a deduction for auto loan interest, and hello, California, a change in the SALT deduction. Remember that's the state and local tax deduction. It used to be unlimited. It was then capped at $10,000. It is now going to be $40,000. But again, it's income tested. You've got to earn less than $500,000. This is only available, this increased SALT tax cap, until 2029. It then reverts to $10,000 permanently. Don't forget to take this. This is really important.
Can I go back to the deduction on tips?
Yeah.
I mean, this is really important for so many people, especially in the gig economy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, temporary deduction. So it's for 4 years. And you basically are able to make sure that you have a certain amount of money that you earned on tips not taxed. And it does not matter whether you itemize or take the standard deduction. You will be able to have $25,000 of what they call qualified tip income. So you better be able to prove it if you get audited. And $25,000 will be excluded from taxation. That's a big deal. It phases out if you make more than $150,000 as an individual, $300,000 if you're married filing jointly.
Interesting. And it is tax season. It's never too early to start preparing. I know my wife starts gathering up documents and asking me questions in December.
I mean, she's so good. Put those folders out. Let's get one thing straight. Use last year's tax return as a guide. Things are going to be different this year, as I said, but that's a guide. Just, you know, like, oh, here are the documents I'm looking for. I'm looking for my 1099. I'm looking for my W-2s. I'm looking for the statements from the bank account and from my investment account. So all those things you have to wait for. I think that a lot of people are worried. They say, well, with all these changes, do I need to get a tax professional? Maybe not. I mean, whatever tax software you're using is going to actually be updated to reflect the new rules. So the question about whether you actually hire someone or not is really about, has something really changed in your own financial life, right? Did you sell something? Do you have to file an estate tax return? Are you a small business owner or self-employed, and maybe I need somebody who's a little bit more familiar with this idea of Schedule C and what I can really deduct? Do I have to file a Form 1099 to someone else? So these are all reasons why you might want to choose a tax professional. But to be clear, get ready to make sure that you can get in touch with one of those tax professionals, because, you know, you're not going to be able to do this late March, early April. You have to have someone in place right now.
Here's more on what to expect with your 2025 taxes from Luke Sloan on WWJ.
I always worry if it's too early, then you get a document after you filed, then what do you do?
Right. So that's a great question. If you did do that, most likely you'll wind up getting an IRS letter. If it was an income reporting thing, so you'll get an IRS letter, an underreported income letter. And you can always fix that. You can always amend the return if you do find out later. But if you're not 100% sure, it's probably best to kind of hold and wait to make sure you have everything. Maybe look at last year's documents. See if anything's missing. Give yourself, you know, let yourself, especially if you're working with a CPA or a tax professional, often they can kind of just even some of the questions that they'll ask you will bring that up, and you'll notice that there may be something missing.
I also found that if you file earlier than later, you're more inclined to get that refund quicker. Is that true?
So they say, but absolutely. I mean, the earlier you file, definitely the faster you'll get that refund. Every once in a while, somebody's refund will be held up for various reasons, but typically the earlier you file, the earlier you will get that refund back.
So what's demand like for your services this time of year? Is it nonstop work?
So many CPAs, definitely there's an uptick. As I have my own practice as well, so that obviously is a tax season with both the individuals and the businesses. Definitely a much busier time of year. In terms of some of the work I do at the law firm with Abraham & Rose, that's really year-round. This is a time that people kind of think about some of the things that they've been through. Maybe people have kind of fallen off a little bit, especially business owners or small businesses starting out. Sometimes that kind of spirals. It could spiral out of control a little bit. And it's best, obviously, to try to get on top of that as soon as possible, right away. Even when you're starting a new business, just get that start out with obviously a separate bank account, just as a minimum, and then, you know, get it set up as a proper entity type. But if that does, and sometimes it does, because your small businesses, especially, cash flow can be an issue, and it just, they're continuously putting the money back into the business, and sometimes taxes do kind of creep up on them, and a big one is payroll tax. You want to be really, really careful with that. But unfortunately, sometimes small businesses, these kind of things do creep up, and law firms like Abraham & Rose could definitely help with that too.
Great. So Rothenberg, a tax and accounting consultant, CPA at Abraham & Rose, thank you so much for joining us.
And with tax season comes tax season scammers. Here's information from WBBM's Noon Business Hour on keeping your information safe.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
So be alert for fake calls, emails, and texts from fraudsters looking to cash in. Scammers can steal your identity, take your money, and even file your tax return before you do. Many impersonate government agencies using threats that you're in trouble with the IRS or promising larger refunds. Others claim your money is ready but demand personal information first. As you file your 2025 taxes before April 15th, remember, never share your banking details or Social Security number with anyone before contacting the IRS directly to verify the message.
In other financial matters, the Fed weighed in on interest rates this week. Here's Tommy Tucker.
Stephen Cates joins us, Bankrate financial analyst. Let's talk about what they decided to do.
So the Fed kept interest rates flat. no change, and that was almost universally expected. So there wasn't a lot of unmet expectations with this meeting. The biggest event was really the fact that the press conference was full of questions around the investigations, the Supreme Court case, and setting the stage for 2026.
Well, what is? Tell me about the investigation, because I don't remember a Fed chair being investigated before. What is all of this about? What's behind it? And there was some dissension yesterday among the Fed governors themselves about changing the rate. How normal, unusual is that? Irregular.
So the dissension isn't so normal. We've actually seen dissent in each of the last three meetings as well. We had less dissent than we did in December. So there were two dissenting votes in this meeting, Christopher Waller and Stephen Moran. Stephen Moran was expected to dissent. Both voted for a quarter point rate cut, while the rest of the committee was all almost unanimous in wanting to hold rate steady. So slightly less dissent and for less amount. Stephen Moran had previously wanted to do 50 basis point rate cuts or half a percent rate cuts in the last three meetings. So he too is even coming back towards the middle in terms of what policy should be. And then to your question about the investigation, this is a Department of Justice investigation, or at least fact-finding mission, about the Fed's renovations of their headquarters. The renovations have been very expensive. It's a very old building. They are trying to update it and do changes. And the Department of Justice felt that they have not been forthright with explaining why there's been overages and other things. And that in and of itself is unusual. This seems like an overreach and a bit of an overreaction to try to bring this to into the legal system.
Can the president fire Chairman Powell if he wants to or not?
So he can fire him for quote unquote cause, which is never explained, in sort of the rules that govern the Federal Reserve. It's just for cause. And so some of what is happening now is trying to better define what that means. And Governor Lisa Cook, who has a case before the Supreme Court about whether she can be fired, is going to determine some of what future presidents have in terms of powers to try to change or pull people off of the Federal Reserve Board.
So in a perfect world, how is this supposed to work?
The firing?
No, the Federal Reserve and the board and the independence and monetary policy, et cetera.
So ideally, in a perfect world, and in most of the world, and certainly in the U.S., up until this point, we've had some malfeasance a few times in the past. But the Federal Reserve would act independently of all political whims. So they would base their decisions and their determinations on what the data of the economy is saying, what the labor market and the inflation rate is doing, not just how it's behaving, but how it may behave in the future. And presidential elections, congressional elections, and their desire to be reelected would not factor into the Fed's decision-making. Chair Powell talked a little bit about this yesterday, that, to bring the Federal Reserve or any monetary policy, into a political realm, to try to boost or detract from any political candidates, puts the American people and the American economy at risk. That's what we want to avoid.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, because ultimately, people get all revved up about this and that and the politics and the intrigue of it. But what does it mean for us financially as far as what the Fed did yesterday? We're talking to Stephen Cates, Bankrate financial analyst. The Fed decided to wait and see, I guess, Stephen, that would be accurate.
That's a fair assessment, yeah.
I wait and see what happens, and we'll find out what they're waiting for and what they want to see will happen when we come back. If you have any questions or comments, at Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text Line is always open at 504-260-1870. I can remember a time where there would be little interest over whatever the Fed was doing, but certainly that's different these days. Traffic now with Joe Cardosi on WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Stephen Cates, Bankrate financial analyst. I would say, Stephen, 20 years ago, few people knew about the Federal Reserve or what they did, or maybe with other than business people, would they care about when the business reports came on about what the Fed did. Now it is of intense interest. But really, how much does that have to do with our everyday lives, or is it tomorrow that were going to be affected or down the line?
So with this meeting, there are really going to be no changes day over day. You know, what people do today, what they see in their bank account, or if they go and look at a loan today versus yesterday, there's going to be no change because the Fed took no action. And so there hasn't been any meaningful difference. The biggest thing that people should be watching, and also that the Fed is watching, is really the inflation rates. There isn't a whole lot that people can do around, what is or isn't going to happen with the labor market. Obviously, anybody who, Andy Jassy, who runs Amazon, who just had a big layoff, he can do something. But just about everybody else, watching and trying to determine, which way the inflation rate goes is going to have a bigger impact on their life than anything else, because that's going to be what is really going to control long-term yields on treasuries and mortgage rates. And that's, I think, a big thing that people are watching very closely is as mortgage rates come down, the housing market is going to start to recover. And that's going to have meaningful ripples throughout the economy.
So what kind of cut would the Fed have to make for it to have a meaningful impact on mortgage rates and the economy?
So the Federal Reserve really does not have direct control over mortgage rates. So even as they've been cutting over the last couple years, mortgage rates have not really followed with those moves. Yes, mortgage rates have come down. They're down from a little over 7% this time last year to now about 6.25%. But that is mostly because we've seen a shrinking between the spread of mortgage rates and the 10-year Treasury bond back to a normal rate. For a while, it was very spread out, and now it's just about normal on a 25 to 30-year time frame.
So the president wants an interest rate cut. Why?
Well, lower interest rates are certainly, bullish for the economy, certainly productive. When it's easier to borrow money, cheaper to get money, people spend more. Companies spend more. And that's going to juice the economy, get GDP growth growing. But we're already seeing pretty high GDP growth. The last half of 2025 saw very healthy growth. We're going to come out with, for the full year, probably average to above average GDP growth, even though we had negative effects from the tariff announcements in Q1 of 2025. So we're on pace for a very productive economy from a growth perspective. Juicing it even further risks reinflating, reaccelerating inflation. And that is something we all do not want.
So as far as reaccelerating inflation, the rate of inflation changes. But unfortunately, when prices go up, rarely do they come down. So when you're talking about increasing the rate of inflation, that can have some permanent consequences, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think everybody out there, all the listeners, probably look back very fondly on the prices that they remember paying 2, 3, 5 years ago. Those just aren't coming back. Grocery prices are not going to rewind the clock to the way they were. Car prices are not going to rewind. So we're paying prices that are rising constantly. That is normal to see prices go up, but it's the rate that they go up that we want to keep to a minimum.
So if you lower the interest rates, juice the economy, the inflation rate could go up, but then the inflation rate might come down. But the problem is you're stuck with the higher prices that, and correct me if I'm saying anything wrong here, you're stuck with the higher prices that the higher inflation rate brought along with them, correct?
Correct. Okay. And it's really something that consumers notice more. I think one of the reasons that people may be paying attention to the Fed more so than they did is that we had this enormously damaging bout of inflation a few years ago, and it's created a lot of interest from people in what is happening, why is this happening to me? And they're rightly frustrated and upset about it. So figuring out what's going on and who's controlling this is certainly of interest to people. We want low inflation to the point where people barely notice it. That is a happy level of inflation, from a regular consumer perspective. And we're not there yet. We've still got a ways to go.
Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate your time. Insights as always. Stephen Cates, Bankrate Financial Analyst.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Barry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.